Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the October Citizens Climate Lobby call. My name is Mark Reynolds. I'm a member of the Citizens Climate Lobby staff, and I'm the host of this call. What's going to be happening today is, in just a moment, I'm going to be introducing our speaker, Alex Posner. We're glad that Alex is on as the scheduled speaker this time. Last time he was on, one of his colleagues got stuck on an airplane, and we were all panicking about what we were going to do, and then Alex appeared on the screen miraculously. So we're really happy to have him here today. After Alex is done talking, there'll probably be time for some Q&A, which we'll take in the chat. Then we'll go over some of the things that have happened since last month's call, what we're asking you to do this month. And then probably most importantly, the December conference is open for registration today. So after this call is done, you can go to our homepage, click on Take Action, and register for the December conference. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the call also. So we have now chapters in 60 countries outside of the US. And so I wanna welcome all the people that are particularly new to the call today. And that includes one new group in the US in Hartford, in India, Uttar Pradesh and Odisha, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Matidi and Goma, in Canada, Burlington, and in Togo, Lome. So if you're from either listening on the call live today or any of the groups around the world, thank you so much for joining us. It is great to have you here. So every month we try and get at climate change from a different angle, from a different perspective, different area of expertise. So last month we had Tina Johnson from the National Black Environmental Justice Network. The month before that, Dr. Kim Cobb, a climate scientist from Georgia Tech University. The month before that, Dr. Renee Lertzman, who is an environmental psychologist, deals with some of the emotional trauma that many of us have related to dealing with climate change. In June, we combined our call with our June conference. So we were able to have a couple of US senators, former member of Congress, an economist that works with the UN. So we were able to have more than one speaker. The month before that was Dr. Natasha Desjarnais, whose area of expertise is related to health outcomes as it relates to climate change. Nathaniel Stinnett from the Environmental Voter Project before that. I know a lot of you have signed on to help their organization and try and ensure that people whose primary concern is the environment vote this year. Hannah Picard was our March speaker. She works for an organization called NOKI, which trains people in museums and aquariums how to communicate about climate change very quickly, because usually they get about 10 minutes with people. And she really, it's a really beautiful, exquisite call if you wanna go back and revisit that March call of how well she communicates. Bob Inglis, the executive director of Republic N, was our speaker in February. He's been a frequent guest in our conferences and calls. It was great to have him on. And then January was John Wood from Braver Angels, the organization that's trying to depolarize politics. So we really try and work at this from a lot of different angles. We're so happy that Alex Posner could join us today. We certainly are interested in how to reach out to students, what Students for Carbon Dividends is doing, you know, how to reach out to Right of Center. And, you know, Alex, you know, I just wanna say I'm really sorry for the loss of Ted Halstead. He was a good friend. He was really important in the development of your organization, and I feel for you. He was a friend of mine also, but in particular, I feel for you. But so great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome.
Thank you, Mark, for those incredibly kind words. So glad to be here. My very first climate organizing and advocacy experience ever was actually at the 2017 CCL National Conference in Washington, D.C. I had sort of studied carbon pricing in classes, seemed like a wise idea. It wasn't clear if it, at that point, wasn't clear to me that it had migrated much beyond the dusty pages of academic journals. And I arrived at this conference and was just delighted to see, you know, this principal alive and well, and an army of talented advocates working to usher it into existence. So that was a very inspiring moment. And I will say at every turn since then, we at S4CD have been the lucky beneficiaries of the collaboration, the wise counsel, and the support and friendship of the CCL community. So I want to begin first and foremost with a note of gratitude, a note of humility, and appreciation, yeah, not just for the direct organizing work CCL does, but also for the ways in which your spirit and energy inspires others and creates a larger, a more vibrant, and more effective environmental movement. So I'm going to share some slides here. I want to give a taste of what we're up to at S4CD, but more than that, want to share some of the organizing strategies and techniques that we've learned along the way in hopes that they might be helpful for some of your own organizing. So S4CD is a student-led organization that works to educate and embolden student leaders around the carbon dividends framework and lay the groundwork for a bipartisan breakthrough on climate change. We were co-founded in 2018 by 100 plus student organizations from across the country, 50 plus right of center and 50 plus left of center. This was the first time that a chorus of college Republican groups had ever endorsed a national climate plan, and by extension, the first time that a bipartisan student coalition had ever done the same. I think said from the vantage point of today, it may not seem as path-breaking, and that hopefully is an indication of just how far the conversation has shifted in the last few years, and in no small part due to the efforts of the carbon fee and dividend movement and efforts of CCL. Within this cohort, and you can see the co-founder list on our website, by design, a pretty broad group, right? Everything from on the right, college Republican groups, Young Americans for Liberty, libertarian groups, Turning Point USA, which is firmly right of center, to on the left, college Democrat groups, college environmental groups probably usually fall into that category. So this broad-based coalition has been part of our organizing since the start, and this set a tone for our work since then. Since our launch, we have expanded our operations on college campuses, holding events, speaking at conferences, presenting any chance we get. Wanted to highlight a few bigger developments over the course of the last few years. One, we were very lucky to play a part in the organizing of the Economist Statement on Carbon Dividends. Remember, the organizing team reached out to us and said, hey, we have this idea, we need some help. Would S4CD be interested? So our charge was to put together a database of almost every economist we could find in the country. We had 50 plus student volunteers working on this over the course of many weeks, many sleepless nights, burning the candle at both ends, but we're able to put it together. And it was using that list that Dr. Janet Yellen beamed out an invitation across the country, and that history was made. And I think for us, right, some scenes of some of the students who were part of the organizing team, this statement has not only been valuable in its own right, I'm sure you've experienced this as well in your meetings and your presentations, but it also identified a national network of carbon fee and dividend supporters, chiefly on college campuses, that has been useful as we've continued our organizing on campuses, which is our primary sandbox. And if you're interested, we have a educational website we put together just about the principles behind the Economist Statement on Carbon Dividends, the same principles at play in HR 763. And the website is historyismade.org. Feel free to check it out and use it as an educational resource in your own outreach. Two other quick developments since then. In December of 2019, we helped to launch and spin off a complementary 501c4 called Young Conservatives for Carbon Dividends, focused specifically on right of center outreach and led by our friend Kier O'Brien. YCCD was co-founded by 25 of the senior most college Republican leaders from across the country. So the chairs and vice chairs of college Republican state federations, which sort of set the tone for a lot of college Republican discourse. No doubt a healthy debate left to be had, but this was an important step forward, and they're hard at work appearing at conferences, spreading the good word, and definitely encourage you to check out their work. And then lastly, I just wanted to highlight this summer, S4CD put together something we call the Student Government Leaders Statement on Carbon Dividends, inspired by the Economist Statement on Carbon Dividends. And as the name suggests, it is a national statement of student body presidents from all 50 states, and from campuses representing more than 4 million students. So there were over 350 who signed on. And to our knowledge, this is the largest such statement of our largest statement of student government leaders in US history. So we're really excited about the outpouring of support, and similarly along bipartisan lines, a whole range of political backgrounds, life experiences represented in the statement. And campuses are, as we found, are pretty election focused at the moment, but we look forward to doing a lot more organizing with this network, including in partnership with many CCL chapters, which is already in motion once the election is over and the dust settles, hopefully sooner rather than later. So that's just a broad level overview of what we've been up to. I now want to share sort of 10 strategies and techniques that we've learned along the way. No doubt, plenty of this will be familiar, but good organizing techniques are always worth revisiting. So one is the importance of tailored messages. When we launched, we sort of had this view, naive in retrospect, that we could have a one-size-fits-all message that would be hold hands and sing kumbaya. And in reality, the world doesn't quite work that way. And as we like to say within our organization, this is many journeys through the desert to the same promised land. So people can end up carrying the torch for the cause, or in this case, a light bulb, which is our logo at S4CD, and arrive at that cause for different reasons and through different for different philosophical beliefs. So even in this photo here, we have folks from College Republicans, College Democrats, and everywhere in between. Two, intertwined with the mission of tailored messages, is the importance of leading with values. We always tell our team to have a value sandwich. Start off with values, then you get the wonky weeds, the vegetables in the middle, end with values. That's what resonates best with people in our experience. And I know previous speakers you've heard from, whether it's Jonathan Haidt or Hari Han or others, have spoken to a lot of these principles. And our experience has very much confirmed that. So we might say something along the lines of, you know, we believe the marketplace and capitalism can solve the climate challenge. That's why we support the carbon fee and dividend approach, which would harness American innovation and drive clean energy investment towards a cleaner and more prosperous future. So not leading with the four pillars, but with principles, with values, and bringing people in that way. Number three, telling the story behind the idea, right? Yes, there are four pillars, we know them well, but people are really interested in, well, where did this idea come from, right? Who's championing it? And why do I play a role in helping to further this idea? So when we were organizing the student government leader's statement on carbon dividends, there was a natural step from the economist statement on carbon dividends. So we would say, here was this groundswell of support last year, thousands of economists across the country, chiefly professors on our own campuses, came together in support of this solution. They've shined the way forward. Now it's up to us, the generation most affected, to carry the torch forward. Right, so yes, the four pillars, but what's the story of the idea, and how do you as a potential advocate fit into that story? Number four, key phrases and quotes and simplified messages, right? It is very easy to present a long wonky pitch for this idea and go through all sorts of nuts and bolts of the proposal, you know, but for most folks, a 10-minute riff, let's say, on a border carbon adjustment won't set their heart aflutter, right? Probably lose them at minute two or three. So something we've put a big emphasis on is, you know, how do you come up with a few phrases that just help it click or a few quotes that bring into focus what this is about? So I'll give you an example of two quotes we used often in the organizing of the student government leader statement on carbon dividends. This is a quote from Glenn Hubbard, chair of the Council of Economic Advisors to President Bush. And he says, business people don't innovate because it feels good. They innovate because there's a return to that innovation. We found this phrase just helps the concept click for a lot of folks, particularly right of center. And it was a quote we copy and pasted and emailed over and over and over again. For any audience members that were more left of center, This was a quote we tended to use with regularity from Jason Furman, who was chair of the Council of Economic Advisors to President Obama, both of these folks signees of the Economist statement. And he said the following about the carbon dividends approach. This is not the only thing we need to do to address climate change, but it is the most obvious, the most efficient, and quantitatively most important. So a simple phrase, but it says a lot all at once and from a trusted messenger, right? This is not meant to get in the way of other climate initiatives you're passionate about, but it is a cornerstone solution, most obvious, most efficient, and quantitatively most important. So instead of a whole long presentation on all the policy details, focusing on key phrases or quotes that can tell a broader story. Intertwined, of course, is trusted messengers, and saw that just on display there. Within our own team, we have folks right of center who reach out to potential advocates right of center, folks left of center reach out to potential advocates left of center. So whenever that is possible, it is absolutely worth doing. That also involves some research ahead of time to find out who your audience is. So this summer, to put together the big student government leader statement, we had a small army of student interns who were researching every potential recruit, finding out as much as we could from their online profile, and tailoring messages accordingly with trusted messengers. Six is the power of social connections. And this is, of course, something the CCL family knows well and does very well. And that is the power of friendships, right? If you, as we always say to our team, make friends before you make arguments. And if you establish that human connection, there is nothing more helpful in the cause of recruitment and organizing. Seven, peer motivation, right? Peer pressure is as strong as a welding job. So when we're doing organizing, pointing to peers, right? We'd say often sending a note. Just in the last week, seven new student body presidents have signed on from these campuses, including one in your state or one in your academic conference. We don't want you to miss out. So putting all of these advocates into conversation with each other, creating a sense of momentum, and using that peer motivation to encourage them to join the fray. Eight, good things come to those who are persistent. You know, no glamour at a certain level with recruitment. We probably sent the phrase, emails that began with the phrase, just following up more times than anyone should in a lifetime. But that can be that's an essential ingredient of success. And sometimes folks wouldn't respond for a whole bunch of emails and would say, you know, thank you for following up. I really do care about this, a lot going on, but appreciate you're now putting this on the radar. I wanna be a part of this initiative. Number nine, substance and style, right? There's a phrase in design that, you know, design is the silent ambassador for your brand. So we do spend a lot of time thinking about how is every email formatted? How do we present this in a compelling way? Is the font right? All of that, because people will judge not only the substance of your email pitch or outreach, but how it's presented. So here's an example, right? One could send a page of black and white text all about the Economist statement. Instead, we sort of fashion this poster, give a sense of grandeur, a visual image that's more likely to pop. So substance and style. And 10, we may be getting to some of this later as well, but if I had magic powers, So I am an amateur magician. It's a phase I haven't had the good sense to grow out of. But when I was in middle school, I went to magic camp, as one does, and took a class on how to create your own magic tricks. And one of the pieces of advice was complete the following sentence. If I had magic powers, right, if I truly had magic powers, what would I do? Right, too often we think about the tools in front of us and then try to, you know, move a yard or two down the field. Instead, assume anything is possible, set an ambitious goal and work backwards, whether or not you're sure it's possible. So whether it was the launch of S4CD, where we brought together this coalition of student groups that never happened before, that began as a conversation of, wouldn't it be neat if? Had no idea if it was possible, but we threw it out there as, this would be great, let's work backwards, figure out how to make it possible. Same thing with the launch of YCCD, and most recently with the student government leader statement. We said we want to organize the largest statement of student government presidents in history. Had no idea how to make that happen, right? There were days where we were at 21 or 22 sign-ons, where we wanted to bang our head against the wall. But, you know, set an ambitious goal and work backwards, and great things can become possible. So those are 10 techniques that we've learned along the way. As mentioned, no doubt, plenty of it familiar, but always worth revisiting. I just wanted to end with a note, also as Mark touched on at the beginning, on Ted Halstead, who is, many of you know, died tragically last month in a hiking accident in Spain at the age of 52. Ted was the founder and leader of the Climate Leadership Council and played a key role, I think, in bringing some important new constituencies into the carbon fee and dividend movement. And he was also, when we could find time on his busy calendar, a mentor to our own organization, and more than that, a relentless and tireless advocate and organizer for the cause. So, just a great loss on so many levels, but his inspiration lives on, and the mission we all share continues. I just wanted to highlight one thing Ted said, this actually a photo from the 2018 CCL National Conference. He said this publicly, he said it privately as well, that at the end of the day, right, regardless of any fancy economist or business entity that signs on, there is no substitute for raw democratic energy. There's no substitute for grassroots firepower. In other words, there's no substitute for an organization like CCL. So as we think about, as we look to 2021 and the dawn of a new congressional session, I think we have every reason to be hopeful and confident as a movement, right? So many trends pointing in this direction, regardless of the churn of American political discourse on any given day, whether it's the path-breaking work on HR 763, the Climate Solutions Caucus in the House and the Senate, recent announcements just last month, one from the Business Roundtable, an influential business organization in support of carbon pricing, or a report from the CFTC on financial risk in the economy, pointing to a carbon price as essential. The trend lines are very promising and very hopeful. And indeed, members of Congress have said that once the dust settles, it is very likely that bipartisan legislative initiative will center around the carbon fee and dividend approach. What that means, though, right, it's an exciting window in front of us. It also means, I was thinking about this the other day, that it is quite possible that over the next congressional session, over the next 2 years, more Americans will hear about, learn about, and form an opinion about carbon fee and dividend than ever have in all previous years combined. Pretty daunting thought, but it is precisely a mission I think this movement is prepared for, is ready for, to be ambassadors for this idea, to be ambassadors for this cause. So I am confident we can rise to meet the moment. This is an idea whose time has come, probably should have come earlier, but no time like the present. And we at S4CD are very much looking forward to working with all of you to make that happen. So thank you.
Alex, that was absolutely amazing. Flannery, are there questions in the chat that we should ask Alex?
Yes. So first, this should just be a quick one. People are desperate to know about the Price Carbon flag pins. Where did you get those, and could we get some?
So those are courtesy of a CCL advocate extraordinaire, Zori Zimmerman. So she would be the best person to connect with, and she's been our flag pin dealer for the last few years.
Awesome. Good to know. Okay, so people are also curious to know, is Students for Carbon Dividends only open to student volunteers or people of all ages? Can adults get involved?
Yes, thank you for asking. So, this now affects me too, because I just graduated from college. So this is a question I have to answer as well. And what I usually say is a lifelong learner, and that's close enough. So yes, I mean, we are pretty student focused, but always welcome collaboration opportunities, and if can email us at info@s4cd.org or, I would say in the spirit of trusted messengers, it is advantageous whenever possible to have college students reaching out to college students, at least to begin a conversation. But I think, within American political discourse, right, what 18 to 22 year olds do is of greater interest to the media, to the public imagination, than what 22 to 26 year olds do, what 26 to 30 year olds do, what 30 to 34. It is a special stage in American politics, right? The site in which we carry out a lot of our societal debates. So it is worth having an active presence in the college sphere. CCL Higher Ed does excellent work, and we're so lucky to partner with them in so many fronts. Reach out with any ideas, and we'll go from there.
Great. Mark, how long do we have for questions?
You got time for one more, and then we have a special treat that is we're gonna launch for the first time on this call.
Okay. So the one that has the most upvotes is people are curious about the racial diversity statistics in Students for Carbon Dividends. Is that information that you have available we could point people to?
Sure. Yeah. An important question. What I would point you to is the student government leader statement on carbon dividends, which included 350 student government leaders from across the country, more than 40% students of color, and split equally male and female. So rightly representative of our generation's increasingly diverse, our generation's diversity and our country's increasingly diverse and inclusive future.
Great. Fantastic. Flannery, thanks for monitoring that. And Alex, great answers to all those. Okay, so Alex did mention that he went to Magic Camp, like one does. I think that's the way he phrased it. And he offered to do a magic trick for us. So this is a feature we've never had on the call. We might decide that we're always going to have a magic trick. But Alex, please.
Thank you. Yeah, so when I was younger, actually, I wanted to be a doctor. But my parents insisted I become a magician. It's the origin story. So after I was in middle school and high school and college involved in various magic efforts, volunteered for an organization called Magicians Without Borders, a real organization. You can check out their work online. We can see that the thought of a magician without borders is troubling on a certain level, but we lean into the label nonetheless. Now, when I got to Washington after college, wasn't sure if there'd be an opportunity to still be involved in the magic community. It turns out there are a lot of magicians here in DC. We call them politicians, but essentially the same toolkit, right? Plenty of facades of truth, the age-old technique of misdirection commonly put to use. So have just a few minutes today, so wanted to try something using our imaginations. I would love all of you at home to imagine you're a balloon. Imagine you're a balloon. So if you were a balloon, right, really imagine it, right? Imagine life is a balloon. Probably not a question you expected tuning into the CCL call today, but here we are. If you were a balloon, what would you be afraid of? What would you be afraid of? Now, if you were to ask me, I would say ballooning deficits, but that's just me. I imagine most people would say something sharp, right? If you were a balloon, you'd be afraid of something sharp. So right here I have a handy dandy pocket needle. Always good to carry one of these. And normally, right, these two forces don't get along. They're really enemies in a certain way, right? Opposing sides that can't agree. Sounds familiar on a certain level. But with a little magic, maybe we can change that. Maybe we can change that. So let's see. Maybe you want to cover your ears, up to you, right? If you're like me, and I know I am, the thought of a sudden loud noise can be jarring. So whatever you'd like, but here we go. Ready? You ready? Okay, just want to make sure everyone's on their toes. just like that. Two opposing forces coexisting. Now imagine, right? Imagine if opposing forces throughout the world could learn to live together, right? Imagine if this were Republicans and Democrats, or Yankees fans and Red Sox fans, or people who prefer to say carbon tax and people who prefer to say carbon fee. That might be pushing it. But if we could learn to live together, right, the world would be a much more harmonious place. And indeed, I think this image, on a certain level, is a great representation of our shared bipartisan mission. Somehow forces normally in opposition, coexisting ever so delicately, an ever so delicate dance, but creating something more harmonious and in our cases, necessary in its place. And if we don't learn to live together and to cooperate, the world will instead come to sound and look something like this. Thank you.
Well done, Alex. Well done on the talk. Well done on the trick. So fantastic to have you. That was really, really something. Thank you so much. And obviously, you're welcome to stay on for the next 10 minutes if you like, but that was fantastic.
Whew. Thanks so much. A pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so great to have you, Alex. So I just want to go over a couple of things that we've happened since last month's call. I know a lot of people have been very active out getting people registered to vote and campaigning, but also last month we had 73 op-eds. That's in the top 10 all time of op-eds. So that's a really remarkable achievement. And thank you all for pushing those out and getting your papers. It's tough competing for newspaper space right now, but you did, and that's really, really great work. We finally have all the notes in from the June conference, and what it ends up we had was 436 meetings. 90 of those meetings had Grass Tops leaders in them. So you were able to get leaders from your community into the meeting, which we would not have been able to do in DC. So it was nice to see that you took what could have seemed like a disadvantage and made it into an advantage. And of the 436 meeting notes, there was one skeptic comment. So one, only one person indicated any reservation about the science being revolved of 436 meetings. So that's pretty remarkable. We have been making a big push in the organization regarding endorsements because we know how much community leaders influence the process. And in addition to running at about 80 endorsements new a month right now, we've asked people to reach out to previous endorsements and get an additional statement from them. So I loved what Alex said about, you know, sustained effort. You know, one of my favorite group leaders, we invited her 7 times before she said yes. And I just want to go over a quick chronology of some of the things that had happened in the state of Utah recently. So some of you remember that in 2017, Piper Christian and a group of high school students reached out to the Utah state legislature. And after 2 years, in March 20th of 2018, the concurrent resolution on environmental and economic stewardship was passed in the state of Utah. Based on that resolution, the Utah State Legislature commissioned a study called the Utah Roadmap Positive, and that was signed in 2019. The study was a 6-month assessment with specific goals to be met. And this week, October 7th, was the signing of the Utah Climate and Clear Air Compact with more than 100 of the state's most prominent leaders, including both Republican Representative Curtis and Democratic Representative McAdams. Two CCLers, Tom Moyer and Logan Mitchell, are also signers for that. But congratulations to Utah on leading the way on a very right of center state and staying with it and continuing to push the needle where it already looked like pretty big things had been done. Okay, so what are we doing this month? Well, in Canada, we're gonna focus on letters to the editor and climate advocacy trainings. In the US, we're gonna ask you to start planning your December meeting. So I mentioned we had 436 meetings in June. We want to get to as much of the conference, which I'll talk about a couple of key pieces of that in just a moment, but we'd like you to start planning your meeting now. thinking about who's going to be in it, thinking about what community leaders you could have join. You know, one of our Senate meetings in Michigan last month had 149 people attend, which is incredibly enlivening to the senator and her staff member. So we want you to start planning those December meetings. We want you to make sure you have a plan for everybody in your group to vote. Bonus social media action is going to be posting a picture of yourself voting early. And then the laser talk practice is about the household impact study. Okay, so our fall conference every year up until this year has been in November. But this year we delayed it till December 5th and 6th for a couple of reasons. The main one being is we did not think that the election will be, the dust won't be settled like it usually is election night. So many people are mailing by mail-in. Many states don't allow those to even be counted until the election day. So we think it's going to take a while for the dust to settle. But we believed that by December 5th, so the conference is the 5th and the 6th, we believed that by the 5th, the dust would be settled enough that we could lay out for everybody a clear path forward for next year. And so what I'm hoping is that you're all there. I'm hoping that you all and the other key people in your chapter, and you know, in Washington, D.C., the most people we've ever had come to a conference is 1,600. That's about the most that ballroom will hold. We had 4,600 in June, representing 37 countries. What we want to do is lay out our path forward and hopefully have as many people on the same page as possible. So I would like you to go to our website and go to the Take Action tab and register yourself for the conference today. It's free. So make sure you get yourself registered. There are limits even to webinars of how many people can attend. So please make sure that you're one of the people who does register. Here's the second piece of that. We're going to have a lobby day the week after the conference. That's the last week that Congress will be in session. And we wanted to make sure that we were the first group getting to Congress after the election resolves. We want to make our case loud and clear with as many members of the House and Senate as we can that any climate package, if it's going to be successful, needs to include a price on carbon. Those two events are separate from each other. You don't have to register for the conference to lobby. If you're lobbying, you don't have to come to the conference. I recommend that you participate in both. It might be that you're just part of the process of planning that, but we want to make sure both things happen. One is we get everybody as close to on one page as possible. Two, that we get to Congress before anybody else and before everybody goes home and let them know that crystal clear, we want a price on carbon as part of any package. Okay, so our speaker next month is Tia Nelson. Tia Nelson is from the Outrider Foundation, but she is also the daughter of Senator Gaylord Nelson, who was the founder of Earth Day. We're very excited to have her on next month. Let me just say thanks to Alex Posner and also to Ashley and Brett and the marketing people who put together the pre-conference video. That's just some really, really nice work. All right, everybody. I know a lot of you are probably super anxious, super tense. You know, people are nervous about how the election's going. I hope you're out there doing the things you should be doing with that. And I think that Alex gave us a very good case of our path forward and succeeding in a carbon dividend plan. All right, everybody. See you next month. Bye, everybody. Thank you.